I'd like to really compliment the congregation on one thing, and that is for a long time now, other than maybe a casual interference, we haven't had spirits of resentment working against the ministry and working against the services. And of course, there hasn't been much rebuke. Maybe I better do something, you know, to get a little more rebuke. But anyway, it seems that everybody has got the fear of God, and that they just won't come against the services. If they have any bad spirits, they dismiss them before they come in the house of the Lord as far as coming against the services. I don't mean by that that I don't feel any spirits. Occasionally I do feel some spirits on the people, different kind of spirits. But the thing is, spirits coming against the church or against God, which is a real dangerous thing. Amen. God knows we're subject to spirits. And like the song I hear the Chuck Wagon gang sing sometimes, down here in the lowlands of temptation, or where temptation doth befall, we're climbing the upward way. And I realize that you're always tempted and tried with everything. I realize that. And like the songwriter said, in the sweet by and by where our spirits will sorrow no more. A lot of times our spirits get so sorrowful because we think we've displeased God, or maybe somebody's done something to us. There are not a lot of things, a lot of reasons. But one day, all that'll be over, Zay. And we won't worry about that anymore. But I think of the scripture where it says, wine maketh the heart merry, and he that is of a merry heart, Brother Vince, has a continual feast. So, if God will give us the new wine, it'll make our heart merry, and we'll have a continual feast. Hallelujah. Said our presses would burst out with the new wine if we honor the Lord with our substance. And of course, this body is our substance, Brother John. When we fast and pray, and when we study, and when we give and work and labor with our hands for God, then God blesses us. Our storehouses are full. Now, in this world, you got to admit, a lot of you got to admit, that a lot of folks is just for themselves. It's me and my four and no more. They're not going to give to God. They're not going to work and help with God's program. I don't care where you are. They're just as selfish as they can be. They may fast. They may pray. They may go. They may do. But they're selfish. They're concerned only about themselves and their ministry. And they'll never prosper in the Lord. Jesus' great secret was give and it'll be given unto you.
Amen.
Sow bountifully, reap bountifully. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Praise God. I praise the Lord for his wonderful blessings, because Jesus was not selfish. And the Spirit of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's sacrificial, Brother Gerald. It's a sacrificial spirit, Brother Tom. It's sacrificial. It gives until it can't give. And then when it can't give, it'll let its blood just roll out for you. Amen. Give everything it's got and then spill its blood for you. Amen. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Praise the Lord. If we'd all quit looking for what we want and look for what Christ wants, look on the things of another and not be worried about the things of our own, we wouldn't get in trouble. Some of you this morning are standing here, and you're in trouble in many ways. And the reason was because you got your minds on you, what you wanted, how you was being mistreated, why you wasn't getting what you needed to have. All of this, and got your mind off of doing something for your neighbor, looking on the things of another, and doing something for your brother, and sacrificing your feelings and desire to lift up your brother. And when you did, you got in a rut. Got in a rut. Now, the same way you got in it, you can get out of it. Get out of it. Amen. It's easy, Brother Jim, to see somebody's faults. But it's hard to see our own faults. Amen. But we judge others and do unto them just exactly the way God's going to do unto us, as he would have others do unto you, because that's the way he's going to do unto us. If we offer love and charity, it covers a multitude of sins, and we don't see people so bad. Now, I believe if people do wrong, you ought to rebuke them. The Bible said rebuke them for their good, see? Not for your good. You ought to be so dead it wouldn't even bother you what they do to you or what happens to you. You're not ever think about that. I don't believe Jesus ever even considered that. The apostles either. I don't believe they did. When they really got, I don't believe they even considered about what they wanted and what they desired and what people have done to them and what how they, I believe that's the mind of Satan. And that's the, you say, Brother Pike, do you really believe that's the mind of Satan? When Peter over there said, Lord, nay, be it far from thee. We're not going to let you go to the cross. Jesus said, Satan. Didn't he? Said, that carnal mind want the things of this world. I know what you want, Peter. You want me to stay here in the midst of it because I'm feeding the fishes and the loaves. I said, didn't follow me for the miracles. Said, you follow me for the fishes and the loaves. That's what it was. See, so it's Satan when we think about ourselves. Brother John, when we think about Jesus and think about God and his people, Brother Gilbert, everything will be all right, as the song says. Amen. Now, I appreciate the ones that are willing to swear to their own hurt. I want to talk to you just a few minutes. Feel like doing it? I appreciate those that can swear to their own hurt. The Bible tells us to swear to our own hurt and change not. Change not. Don't ever change. And when somebody says something, Dad, a lot of times it's the Word of God, and if we get offended, then we're in trouble. Because it's faith in the Word of God, Zell, that saves us.
Amen.
And I appreciate those that swear to their own hurt. Amen. And don't never change. Don't never change. The Bible said don't mess with them that's given the change. That is, they decide to do this today, and then they're going to do that tomorrow, and they're going to do something else the next day. And they're going to work this way today, and they're going to work that way tomorrow and another time. Don't mess with those people, the Bible said. That's a spirit of confusion, and it'll get you all out of sorts. Don't ever mess with somebody that's going to, today they're going over yonder, and they're going over here tomorrow, and they're going somewhere, and next day this end, they'll have you so tore up, that's an evil spirit. They'll have your mind everywhere, but in God and in God's work, and they'll have you going everywhere. Amen. In your mind, and you won't be satisfied with nothing. The Bible said godliness with contentment is great gain.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I just can't be contented. Well, you need to get right with God.
Amen.
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 Amen. You need to get right with God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I raised my voice a little. I felt a little resentful while ago when I was talking.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Talk to you, preach to you.
Praise
God. Come with a water, yes, just come in peace.
That's right.
Amen. They said, Samuel, did you come over here in peace or how did you come?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So then, I praise God for them that are contented, them that are willing to submit their spirits one to another and love each other. I praise God for them. And when we're given to change, then we're in trouble. If you have contentment, Brother Taylor, then it doesn't matter where you're at, you're happy.
Hallelujah.
You're happy. I used Brother John for an example the other day. I hope you don't mind me using him here. But John's contented. I know that thoughts come to him in different things. But I catch his spirit a lot of times. And he said, the idea, well, he don't altogether like being on that job over yonder. I tell that too good. You know, it ain't too good. But who does? I don't know nobody that does. Amen. They'd rather be footloose, as the world says, and fancy free so they can go. But I catch his spirit and he's contented with the thought, I'm doing something for God and I'm filling a place for God. Now, other people are too important to do that, you know. We got people that's too important to do that. They're so important and they've got such great things to do for God, they don't have time to do any little thing for God, you know.
That's right.
The Bible said, despise not the day of little things. Amen. It takes a bunch of little bricks to build a great big building. And you just keep throwing a brick aside and saying, well, I ain't got time for that. And after a while, somebody else will be built the building and you'll be standing out there and find out the very thing you throwed away was the cornerstone.
Amen.
That's right. So then, a lot of folks, they're too important, you know, to do these things. They can't help their brother, and they can't work with their brother, and they can't dig a ditch, and they can't carry the load, and they didn't have time to wash their brother's feet like Jesus did. They had such a great minister, they just didn't have time to go around washing people's feet, you know. But Jesus found time. And some of the disciples were so busy, they didn't have time to take up with even the little children like Brother Taylor does. But Jesus sat down over there and said, how about bringing them over here?
Amen.
Amen. I got a little time for them too.
Amen.
Amen. Some folks were so busy they didn't have time for the cripple, you know, the halt and the lame and the blind, but Jesus did. Glory to God, Brother Stevie, Jesus did. Amen. I watched Stevie sometime making mortar out there, you know, just making mortar, working and sweating, and I thank my God, Lord, there's something to that. Something to that. Amen. Praise God. And I believe in a few days, if everything goes right, he'll be on his way doing something else outside of making mortar. That's right. Praise God. He wasn't too important to make mortar, so God considers him important enough to take him on a plane air ride and an airplane ride. Hallelujah. Into a country to where he can testify and pass out tracts and do something to God. But all these are so important. Well, they're so important, the Lord just ain't got time to bother with them. Amen. It was so important they got themselves slapped out of his mind, slapped out of his will, and slapped out of his desire, to be honest with you. Amen. So Jesus sought to make of himself no reputation.
Hallelujah.
He just washed folks' feet.
Right.
Amen. Praise God. Old Father Abraham, Dad.
Amen.
He wasn't too important, you know, to wash folks' feet. He said, Sarah, get some water. These folks' feet out here needs washing.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to have a foot washing tonight. In commemoration of them that had humble spirits. Hallelujah. Wasn't too proud, you know. But anyway, I thank God for them that hasn't been too busy to do the will of the Lord. That's right, seeking their own will and own desire. I thank God for these people that hasn't been too busy to do that. Jesus said they stood with me in the hours of temptation. That's lend me a helping hand. And I know I got a lot of people, they say, I'm with you, Brother Pike. Glory to God, I'm with you all the way. I'm one of you. And I know that Judas said the same thing. That's right. He said the same thing, brother. That's right. But did he do anything to help carry the load? No, because he was Judas. He couldn't. I said he couldn't. He was a Judas. His spirit wasn't a Christian spirit. Amen. That's right. You can't expect to take something out here that's not made for it and have him to carry the same load of a camel. He can't do it because he's not a camel. That's right. I know that don't sound good in the Lord's Supper coming up tonight. But I'm just telling you like it is. Amen. I'm telling you like it is, like it's rolled on the books of heaven.
Amen.
The Bible said judged according to the deeds that you've done in the body. Is that right?
Am I
of the Bible or is that right?
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Folks, humble your spirit, the Bible said, under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you in due season.
Amen. That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Some of them have given grudgingly. When they give, they didn't want to give. They give grudgingly, and some of them is fussed and pitied themselves and all kinds of things. But some of them has sworn to their own hurt. Some of you ain't hardly give enough to do nothing with. That's right. That's right. You say you check the books? No, I don't even know what you give of the books. I just know the Lord lets me know what kind of condition you're in. You don't give of your time at church. You don't give of your time in fasting and prayer. You don't give of your time. Don't give to the work of the Lord in your substance. You just don't do nothing. Amen. But live it up in the flesh. And sing, oh, how I love Jesus. With their lips they serve me, but their heart is far from me. Amen. Their heart is far from me. A lot of them's with me with their lips, but I'll tell you, when I start looking for their heart, it's a long ways off. That's right. They'll come to me and tell me they love me and tell me they're with me, and I've seen them cry and do all kind of things. That don't mean nothing. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears, but that wasn't no good. That's no good, folks. God expects you to do something.
Amen.
You're going to be judged by your deeds and by your thoughts and by your words. That's the Bible, folks. That's the Bible. Praise God. You said, but I come to the house of the Lord, Brother Pike. Satan came also. I said, the Bible said Satan came also. Is that right? You ain't got nothing because you come to church, folks. Amen. The bankrupt town does that.
Amen.
That don't mean nothing. Waste out fast. Mohammed and Elijah does too.
That's right.
Sure, that don't prove nothing.
Right.
But you know what? I preached a message the other night on the love of God.
Amen.
The love of God. You say, what good will the love of God do me? It'll constrain you. Well, Florida make you do things you wouldn't do. I don't think Florida will mind me saying this. Florida used to be a spirit that had a hold of Florida. And I'll tell you, it just didn't take a bite of nobody. He'd as soon knock your eyes out to look at you. That's just about what he felt about it. And he wasn't going to bow to nobody. That's right. Is that right, Floyd? That's right. But the Lord Jesus came along one day, and Floyd took a bow to him. That's right. He broke that spirit. You say, how do you know? I know he broke it because I talked to him and I know he broke it. I know it's not there. And I know one time it was there and very strong too. I just made a statement to somebody the other day about Floyd. I said, Floyd is determined that he's not going to be haughty. If he has to just humble his heart and get right down and just say yes sir and no sir, whatever it is. I mean, that's meaning business, folks.
Praise the Lord.
Some of you ain't reached that place yet. You say, well, how did Floyd reach it? By swearing to his own hurt. Amen, it hurts. It hurts, folks, when you swear to your own hurt. It hurts, but some of you won't do it. Now, somebody said, but Brother Pike, I have done it, but you changed. The Bible said, change not. Do it every day, every minute, every hour, every service, all the time. That's Christ. You say, but I humble myself. The Bible said the devil humbled himself. That's right, he humbled himself. But I'm talking about that Spirit of God that humbles itself once and for all and don't never change. That's God. Yes, Satan will humble himself. You get on to him too much and he'll humble himself. The water gets too hot and he'll humble himself. That's right, to escape the wrath. But that's no good. Amen, that's no good. I didn't mean to get to preaching to you right off. Now, I had a dream last night, and in the dream, I was back in the army. Now, I thought I was a little bit too old for the army, and in the night vision, I said, now, wait a minute. What am I doing back in the army? I said, now, ain't I too old for that? And I looked at myself, and I thought, well, I wasn't as old as I thought I was. I looked young enough to do the job. And I thought, well, I'm too old for that. And then I thought, well, if I ain't too old, well, I done been in service before. I done been in service, and I done put my time in the army. And what am I doing back in the army again? But I was back in the army. And then something said to me, said, well, it's because of the Vietnam situation. Said, the old battle is settled, but they got a new one that sprung up. It's a Vietnam situation. So then I was fixing to go back through boot camp. I remember in the vision something about two women that came up, connected with the officers some way. And I remember the Lord revealed to me that one of them had a rupture in their back there, and I was telling them about it. He caused a great commotion. It was all connected with the army some way. But anyway, whatever it meant, I don't exactly know. But I do know one thing. I know that we're in a battle.
Amen.
Brother Junior told me a vision he had apparently not too long ago. And he said that he saw he and I in a tank. He said just a little narrow place around the tank to where you could see out. And said nobody couldn't get to us. Said nothing could harm us in any way. Said we'd come in on a big plane and it had set down in the middle of the road and the plane was waiting to take us out, Tom, in case anything went wrong. Said it was sitting there just ready to catch us so that we could escape. And said the alien armies that was against us said it was all around and said out of this little narrow trench like this little opening, he said there was a gun that was a string of fire was coming out, just a continual string of fire, and said it was moving all the way around, and said everything, everywhere, it completely demolished it. Said he remembered one man trying to stand up over against the building, and said it just turned his bones, just disintegrated them. And said there wasn't nothing left. Said it's cut them down just like he'd mowed grass. But it said nothing could get to us to harm us. A lot of times when we think we're at the lowest hell, where people are pouncing on us like they are Junior right now, God's using you to mow people down right then. Do you know it? You do it? That's right, Brother Tom. God's using you right then. When they had Jesus down at the lowest hell and was nailing him to the cross and looked like that he was, it was his greatest defeat. It was the greatest victory that he ever won. That's right. Swearing to his own hurt. Changing not. Hallelujah. Humbled himself even to death on the cross. But you know what's wrong with us, folks? We're living in the flesh too much. The Bible said you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the flesh too much, Dad. Desiring the things of this world. Wanting people to sympathize with us and pet us. Do all those things. Over half of our sickness is caused from sympathy. That's right, it's not real sickness. It's caused from a sympathetic thing that just wants attention, that's all. Trying to get you way over something, a melancholy because things didn't go the way that you think it ought to win. And the reason it didn't go that way is because you didn't serve God. You'll lose everything you got if you don't serve God. But the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Praise God. I just don't have time to be melancholy. I don't feel like being melancholy. Amen. I feel like talking with you a few minutes, and then we've got something in mind that I feel like would be the thing that we need to do. But now, tonight, the Lord's Supper tonight, don't forget it. And it's carrying a great significance. The Lord's Supper carries a great spiritual significance anyway, whenever you have it. But if you recall, we've never had it with you before. Is that right? That's why this is carrying such a great significance. And it wasn't until the supper, which was the only supper that Christ ever had, was it made known who the betrayer was. It wasn't until then. Is that right? It wasn't until then. But at that supper, it was. It was. It was made known. And it was a man that he called friend. He had stood with him. He called him friend. He'd been partakers of the ministry. He'd done everything the rest of them done. That's right. Bible said he was partakers of that ministry. But in his heart, he never was with them. Never was. Now, that was just one man dead back there. Just one man. But that signified many men in the church world. We sing the song, "To Be Like Jesus." The reason I like to sing that song, to use it for a theme of my life and our work, not just because I think that we ought to be like Jesus. Brother and sister, we're supposed to be Jesus. We're supposed to be Jesus. Not like Jesus, but we're supposed to be Jesus. The members of His body in particular. And I know that the shepherd denotes a head. I realize that. The shepherd denotes the head of the body. It always does. God fixed it that way. But that doesn't mean that He's the head of the body. Now, He will appear as the head of His body in the day of judgment. You people. Whoever you follow, you'll have to stand there and He'll have to give an account for you in the day of judgment. You say, "Brother Pack, I'll give an account for myself." Paul said that I might present you before God without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. The shepherd takes his sheep, and the responsibility fell on the shepherd's shoulder. That's why Jesus was killed. Amen. That's why Adam caught the briars and the thorns. That's why the man's supposed to work and not the woman. Amen. Not because you don't deserve to. Some of them deserve to. Amen. The way they treat their family, they really deserve to. But God's got it set up like that. The church has been just as wretched as it can be. It deserved to die. But Jesus died for it. And you ladies deserve to be out on a job and you do like you do, but the man does it for you. Now then, we're going to have the supper tonight. I want to talk to you a little bit about it. Judas was a symbol of many of them. Some of them betrayed the Lord for a cigarette, some for a chew tobacco, some of them for a dip of snuff, some for a little gossip, some for a temper, some betrayed him for, a lot less than 30 pieces of silver, some for a little lust, you know, some for a little worldly gain, some to be able to spend their money like they want to, some so they wouldn't have to do anything except the way they wanted to, some so they could go in swimming, you know, and all them kind of things. They all betrayed the Lord for these things. That's right. But tonight in heaven, the Lord's Supper, as pertaining to the supper, Judas was partakers of that ministry. And you say, "Brother Pike, when you talk about that, that grieves me." It ought not to grieve you. If you know that you haven't got a Judas spirit, it ought not to grieve you. That's right. If you know that your heart's right with God, the Bible said if your heart condemn you not, then you have peace with God. That's right. See, now, if you've been doing the right things, you're not under condemnation. You don't feel like you're Judas. That's right. Amen. You say, "Well, Brother Pike, didn't all of them say, 'Is it I, is it thou?'" That's a good spirit. But deep down in their heart, they knew they hadn't betrayed the Lord. They was just examining themselves to see if they'd be in the faith. That was all. They knew. Jesus knew too. The Lord knows them that are His. His seal stands sure. And that seal is the Holy Ghost that He knows Him there is. So then, we as a group of people have never had this supper together before. It was immediately after the supper that Satan entered into Judas. Is that right? Immediately after the supper. See, the blood protected him to start with. It took care of him to start with. It protected him.
That's right. It protected him to start with. And it shielded him. He went on with his meanness and his underhanded work and causing trouble and interference and everything else. He did. It's a melancholy feelings, you know, and melancholy way and pouting and gossiping. And I'm just telling you what avenue, you know, that you live on. Some of you don't live on these streets, but some of you do. Yeah, he used to have a little song, he called it Crooked Street. I believe Brother Terrell sings it, sometime move from Crooked Street to Glory Avenue. Amen. A crooked and perverse generation. Betrayed Jesus. Amen. You say, well, I'm glad that I wasn't living in that day because I wouldn't have done it. The Bible said you do it to the least. And I'm least. Brother, I'm least. I'm less than nothing. But if you do it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, I believe this with all my heart. And tonight, we'll try to elaborate on it. And I'm not going to try to this morning. But I'm trying to say a little bit this morning to get you to think before tonight. Because the Bible said if a man drank this tonight, and if he's not right with God, he drinks damnation to his soul. That's right. That's how serious it is. Now, I don't believe in the teaching of Catholicism through the word of transubstantiation, where you, by that magic word of transubstantiation, they change it into the body of the Lord Jesus. I don't believe that. But it absolutely is in remembrance of Jesus Christ, that it is a symbol of his love and his blood and of his body. We've got the wine and we've got the unleavened bread. God provided it at the right time, John. And tonight, we have the foot washing. And we'll try to explain what the foot washing means and what the supper means. Revelation-wise, so tonight when you come, don't come wanting to go home in 15 minutes. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, if you're going to have that old 30-minute sermon and let me go, I'm going to ask you not to come tonight. You just do us the honor of not troubling us tonight. But the Bible said, them that trouble you, I'll trouble them. If you can't stay still in the house of God long enough to go through an hour or two with God, well, you need to go back home, because that's where you spend all your time anyway. Amen. I believe that. That is, people can ride all over creation, go everywhere and do everything, but they're too busy to come to the house of the Lord, or they can't stay in the house of God. That's right. You betray the Lord in a lot of ways, folks. You can overeat and betray the Word of God and be a glutton and have a devil defile the temple of God and he'll destroy you. That's right. You can undereat and have a devil. That's right. And defile the temple of God where it won't have any strength and still won't be no good to God. That's right. Overindulgence in sex. I don't care if you are married. That's right. Overindulgence in eating. Overindulgence in riding. I'm telling you, devils now. This is devils I'm speaking of. Overindulgence in spending money. Either is wasteful as brother to a sluggard. You got to know where the money goes and got to have a purpose for it. Amen. I know a lot of you blaming God with your poverty, but did you check your checkbook lately? Did you check up on your records and see where your money went? That's right. Somebody said, well, I give it all to God. Well, I never heard of a man going broke give it to God. Never in my life. Never. I never have. I never heard of a person getting on starvation giving to God. I never have heard of it. Now, it would break the scriptures, and the scriptures can't be broke. Do whatever that man does will prosper. That's what the Bible said about it. So then, you can do all these things. Overindulgence in many things. Overindulgence in looking in the mirror too much. Yeah. Combing your hair too much. Brushing your teeth too much. Yeah, amen. That's right. Because now you folks wouldn't be guilty of nothing like that. I'm telling my folks that are guilty of those things. Too many new dresses, too many new pants, too many new shirts. Yeah, that's wrong. That's wrong. Amen, that's wrong. You mean, Brother Pack, I can't just... No. When God gave Israel that money out there, he gave it to them to build the house of God with. What did they do with it? The Bible said they made golden calves and put earrings in the ears. They lived it up. That's what they did with it. But there came a day when God knocked on their hearts and said, where is that which is mine? And they didn't have it. You left all this undone, but how much of the other did you get done? The ones that I saw that done something out here was the ones I saw done something somewhere else. The same ones. That's right. The same ones. Amen. It it matters when you got machinery over yonder. It matters that machinery be run if God's give you a talent for it. It matters. If God teaches you how to do like Bezalel did, use a hammer and a nail, that's a talent, and he'll hold you accountable for it. Amen. Somebody said, but I'm called to preach. You might have thought that. Some of you might have thought that. You say, well, what makes you think I ain't? Have you heard me preach? Yeah, but I hadn't seen you live right. I said, I ain't seen you live right. Preachers live right. They're examples to the flock. Paul worked with his hands, John, where he wouldn't be chargeable. Somebody said, but I'm too important to work on a job. Tell you right now, and I don't mean this sacrilegious, but you're pretty important. You're real important. If you're too important to work on a job, my brother, you're real important, because Paul had the revelation that that's the rapture of the church, and he worked on a job, and he wasn't too important to work on a job. Amen. He got time for fasting, had enough time to spend a few years in prison, enough time to be stoned, enough time to pray, enough time to preach, enough time to go to church. Had every bit of that. That's amazing at the time we don't have in the day that we're living in. I see some of you work 3 days and 2 days and 1 day and walk around. I meet you on the campground, maybe you work 3 days that week, and you'll come up and talk to me and say, boy, I just got to get away with God. And I don't say a thing, I just listen at you. I got to get away with God. I just need to get some time off work. I think, well, you've been out 3 days. I don't know of a meal you've missed. I don't know of a time you fasted. And here you are, been out 3 weeks, 3 months, and just 2 days now and 2 days in. And here you got to get away with God. Got to get away with God. Ladies, humble your spirit. Submit it. It's all right. You men too. It's all right. The Bible said it's all right for you to do that. Now then, folks, what I'm trying to say is, what did you do with all that time? What did you do with all of it, folks? You had a lot of time. You had time to go to the store and get some Coca-Colas. You had time to take the wife to town so you could buy some clothes. You had time to go pay your bills. You had time to sit down and talk with the brethren. Amen. That's right. I believe that. I understand Brother Great is doing some fasting and praying, but he had time to paint his house. They said he's painting and doing a good job of it. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's all right to paint your house. I'm just glad he's got some time for fasting and praying too. But we got a lot of time, folks. We just haven't considered it, that's all. Just haven't considered it. Now, what are we doing with all that time? Well, what I'm trying to do is get a thought over to you here. That I believe we've got time to do all them things that we ain't doing. I don't believe living down here on a free lot and having a little trailer payment to make every month that you'd have to make in rent somewhere has kept you from serving God. I don't think you're so torn to pieces and so nervous because you got down here on the campground, you just can't serve God anymore, and you're in a prison and you got to get away. Something's wrong somewhere. Paul stayed shut up in a little prison room for about 2 years. Had time to fast and pray and serve God, send the gospel and talk to him through the bars and send it out to him and tell churches what he wanted to know. Write a letter and send it out to him. That's where a lot of these epistles come from, right here, from the prison cell. If we go over to the Holy Land, we're going by the jail of Philippi over there where he was in to see it, the Lord will. But now, why is it that we give you free food out here, give you free land out here, give you an opportunity to do something for the Lord? And I believe all of you can say that you ain't done that much on the building and that much out here for the work of God, because if you have, my brother, then why come the work of God ain't finished if we've done all that much for God? We've been over here a year or so. Why come it ain't finished if we've done all that much for God? Well, if we didn't do all that much for God, then why has it hindered you from doing what you're supposed to do spiritually? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not preaching to you. I'm just talking to you. Told you I wasn't going to preach to you this morning. All right, now what happened to all that time? I said, well, I didn't have enough to where I could give nothing to God. Well, you gave it to somebody. Somebody was either contrary to us, or going right against us, or spent it for chicken or turkey or hot dogs or something. Yeah, because you made a lot of money, folks. You made a lot of money in the last few years and few months. A lot of money. But what did you do with all of it? You lay up treasures in heaven, thieves don't get it. That's right. Thieves. Satan is a thief and a robber. He'll take it down here. You may think you've got it, but riches are deceitful and make themselves wings and fly away. They appear to be when they're not. Amen. It is, they don't have no foundation. They're liable to go out on you anytime. But God's treasures are real. Lay them up in heaven and let your heart be up there. They're real. He's not forgetful of you laboring the Lord, whatever you do. Amen. Some of us, well, I want to be holy in spirit. Jesus said body too. That means you can dig a ditch too. Nail a nail too, like Bezalel, you know. Make the Ark of the Covenant. All them things was necessary. It was natural things. To put up a tent back there, it was necessary. Amen. A lot of you don't believe in natural things. If I give you 150 by 90 tenths this morning, you just get so natural minded. You don't believe in natural things at all, but all I'd have to do is just give you a great big tent and a tractor trailer and you get so natural minded. I see Sam, he knows I'm telling the truth. Sam's watching some of you too. Amen. You get so natural minded, you don't have time to come to church and you don't have time to do this, but my, at the time you could find to put that big tent up. You know why? Somebody said, because it's my ministry. No, that isn't what it is. Peter never had no big tent, and John didn't either. Jesus went out and he went way off out in the desert somewhere and got up on a rock and preached the gospel. Somebody said, well, what made it so different? Because he had the power of God in his life. He didn't need a tent or nothing else. People came to hear him. So he said, it wasn't for your ministry. You ought to put the big tent up, that wasn't for your ministry. It's because you're not like Jesus. You want to make of yourself a reputation, fame, popularity. That's what it is. That's what it is. So it'll tell on you, won't it, folks? It'll tell on you. It'll tell you just exactly where you're living. Amen. When you get your paycheck on the weekend, it'll tell on you, won't it? Yeah. It will. Yes, sir. After you get through figuring God out and he ain't got nothing, you can't hardly scrape up nothing, you don't see how you're going to give him nothing. Then after it's all gone, then you're sorry. You think, well, I cut God's slap out of there. But while you're spending it, you don't feel bad at it. On the wife don't either. And you just mentioned something about you want to do something for God and see if the wife don't say, honey, you just give all the time. You give everything you got, honey. What about me and the babies? You ain't never going to get me nothing. Always doing something for somebody else. Ain't it awful? If there's a husband like that out there, I want to reprove you this morning. You do something for your wife. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know how. I've been married to mine, how many, 20 years? I hope I've done something out of 20 years to give my life to her. I don't know how much, but I hope I've done a little something. I'm sure some of you have done something for her. But anyway, if you have time out of all of that, I wish you'd do something for the Lord, too. After all, he gave us all his life. Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Now then, I'm not scolding you. I just want you to think before the supper comes tonight. A lot of things you don't never think about. It's so easy to see other people's fault, but if you considered yours, you say, Brother Pike, if you considered mine, you ain't supposed to be looking at mine.
That's right.
Amen. You say, well, you ain't supposed to be looking at mine. I got something on you. I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to be telling you. Amen. So you just can't work it around no way for your benefit, can you? Ain't but one way you can do. And that's what the Bible says. Amen. You say, well, who's going to reckon with you? Jesus. 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 Amen. I wish I didn't have nobody to reckon with but you. You know what I'd do? Brother, now don't take this wrong, but I'd get out there and I'd undo your shoe. And I'd get out over my tongue and I'd lick your old dirty feet. I'd say, please don't send me to hell. Please don't send me to hell. I would, so help me God. So help me God, I would. You say, you sound crazy. I sound just exactly like what I am. If it's God's crazy, it's okay. But I would. That would be such a little thing, brother. Amen. If that's all it took to get to heaven, boy, you'd have a good foot washing tonight because I'd lick every one of his feet if I had to. Amen. You'd think I was first cousin to a dog. That's right. I'd do anything for God. Folks, anything for God. Amen. Like the old Negro said, if I had to, you heard me tell it where a man come to old Negro and told him, said, I want to get what you got. Said, I've watched you for many days and so forth and so on. And said, you've got something. Said, you are a happy man. He said, well, you can have it. And the white man said, well, what do I have to do? He said, we got a waller hole out there where the hogs waller. He said, all you got to do is go waller. But the man never would come to that. He never would come to that for a long time. One day he just got so desperate, he come back. You say, that nigger was out of proportion. No, that nigger had good sense. And I'll prove it to you by the Bible in just a few minutes. He had good sense. He knew what he was doing. That was God. So the man come back and he said, look, he said, man, he said, I've got to have what you got. I just can't stay no longer. He said, well, the water hole is out there. The old man said, show me the way to it. That's right. He said, Nelson said, you don't have to go out there. He said, you just got to be willing to go out there. That's right, to get it. Amen, that's right. The prophet said, Naaman, go down here and get in that muddy river. Amen. Got too much starch in you. The old Negro was right on the foundation, wasn't he?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. God didn't stop till he put Naaman in the mud. That's right. The old Negro stopped short of it, but some of you's in the mud and don't know it, folks. That's right. I'm not trying to be comical, but I'm telling you, the sow returns to her wallowing in the mire after she's been washed, and the dog returns to his vomit. That's right. Some of you are already wallowing in the mires, and it stinks before God, and you just haven't found it out. Amen. It's your nature to do that. I said this the other day, and I'm going to change the order of the service here right shortly now. But I had a little time to preach, and I thought I'd take up some time just talking to you. Judith, I believe it was, and Deborah, some of them was standing there, Mike, standing down at the hog pen the other day, and we was down there, and I was looking at the hogs, and I kept watching them, Brother Taylor, and they get over in the mud hole, and they just wallow in that stinking waller hole, just wallow, and just close their eyes like they was in heaven. And I looked over at him, and Mike, he was really getting that thing, taking that thing in. And I said, Mike, do you know that hog wouldn't trade places with you? No, sir. I said, he's getting more fun out of what he's doing. He'd rather be a hog than anything he knows of. That's right. Now, you say that don't sound right. I guarantee you, if you could see that hog's mind and see the way it goes, he wouldn't be a human being for nothing. That's a life to him, to eat and wallow in the mud. That's right. You know why? Because God made him like that. God made him to enjoy what he's doing. He don't feel bad about it at all. And he'll shake it all over you and let you go home muddy and won't feel bad about that either. That's right. You say, what are you trying to say, Brother Todd? When you get out there around the swine that Jesus called them in this world, he called them swines. Well, you can say what you want to. Cast pearls before them and they'll just trample them in the mud. You won't see them anymore and then they'll turn and rend you. Wallow in the mud holes of the world and slop it up out there and kissing and sex and every sloppy mess they can, just eat till their belly just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you go around and they'll giggle and turn up a bottle of brew and giggle and slop all over you and you'll go home the same way. And it won't bother them a bit. They'll just have the biggest kind of time. And all you said to them about God don't even affect them at all. You just go down there and talk to that hog about God. Just go down there and talk to him. See how much attention he pays you. You understand what I'm saying? The old dog is the same way. Jesus said, if you're not right with God, you're a dog. That's what he called them. Swines and dogs. A swine nature. He'll go out there and he'll vomit and vomit. And you can holler at him all day long and say, that's nasty, don't do that. And he'll just lap it and look up at you in his lap. Won't bother him a bit. He'd rather do that than anything he knows of. That's right. He'd rather lap that vomit than anything he knows. To him, that's the life. And that's the way some of you are. You'd rather sit in front of a television and guzzle down beer and drink up that filth of Hollywood's wild imaginations out there and lust after somebody's naked legs than anything you know. To you, that's a life. To me, it's a filthy slop hole. Amen. That's right. But to you, you're a pig. That's the life. You wouldn't trade that for nothing. But to me, to love Jesus, to fast and to pray, to do something for Jesus, to give my life to God's people, to me, that's the life. I wouldn't trade that for nothing. Now you say, Brother Pike, that don't sound too good to me. It don't sound too exciting. I tell you what, it so excites me, I just get so excited that I can't contain myself sometimes. I mean, I really get excited over it. That's right. Other day, I was back there in the back room, and I got to thinking about it, and I got to dancing right there in the back room. Somebody said, well, I never see you dance in church. I don't care about dancing for you. I was dancing for Jesus. Amen. A lot of times I dance when I'm all by myself. Amen. If the Spirit of God comes on me. That's right. I love to dance. If I got the right partner. Praise God. I love the Lord, don't you? Alright, now what I felt to do was just bring these things to your remembrance this morning. Peter said, though you know them, yet as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I feel to tell you this. That's right, we've got the stuff for the Lord's Supper tonight, and I want to tell you this so that you stir up your mind, repent, get good sweet spirits before God and mean business with God. Don't never change no more. Have faith in God. You got to get your conscience clear before you can believe. Believing in your head ain't going to keep damnation away from your soul. You got to believe down here, Dan. You got to do something for God to be able to believe down there. Hereby we assure our hearts before God, we do the things that please Him. That gives us confidence that He hears us always. And I want to say these things to you. Now, the wine that we got is good wine because I didn't taste it. You said, well, you couldn't do that. Well, I did do it. He didn't tell me too late. That's right. It's the Bible. Now, I probably won't ever drink of any more like that. I might taste of it again. I don't know if we have the Lord's Supper. But probably won't never. Jesus said one time with his disciples that I won't drink of this wine anymore with you till I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And someday we're going to drink it out in the millennium. You believe that? Out in the millennium we'll drink it together because they're going to have wine breaks and not coffee breaks out there. That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Drink no longer water, but a little wine for thy stomach's sake, not often infirmities. Somebody's telling old wine bibber that, you know, say, praise God. I know he was lying for my bottle of gin. And off he'll go. Said a little wine. Not with a lot of additives, but just the fruit of the vine. Praise God. It'll do something for your system. It'll do something for your soul. But it's all a symbol of the spiritual wine, and that's what we want, folks. Praise God. Now I'll tell you what I want you to do. The Bible said when you come together, this is not to be a glutton, Paul said. It ain't to see who can eat the most and drink the most like they used to do. That's what they used to do. They come together and everybody try to get the biggest piece of bread you know and get the biggest glass of wine. He said, but that's not right. He said, if you're hungry, eat at home. So if you're hungry, you eat at home before you come tonight. Because we're not coming to fill your appetites up. Not your natural ones. Now, but he said, we come to tarry. We come to tarry one for another. And you might say, well, I don't need nobody to tarry for me. Well, you tarry for me because I need somebody to tarry for me. Amen. I need somebody to tarry for me. So what I thought we'd do this morning, let every one of you come up here and gather around the altar. I know you got on some nice new clothes. I just got my suit fresh out of the laundry. And I'm real proud of it. That's right. Sometimes I have to wear one two or three times. I've been sweaty, you know. Thought I was going to have to do it this morning. But I can get out in the dirt with it and pray. And you say, well, I'm too fat. Well, you need to lose some weight. Amen. When folks get too fat to pray, they're in bad shape. Amen. So, yes, come on up. Besides, well, I'll just sit on the bench and bow my heads. That's not what I'm asking you to do. The Bible said obey the minister and him and have a rule over you. I'm asking you to come up here and get down on your knees and pray. You say, well, I'm not a Christian. Well, that's a different situation. I don't expect you to. I'd like for you to. And I certainly don't want to hurt your feelings in any way. I'd like for you to. It would do me good if you would. The Bible said let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But I'm talking about you folks that say you're Christians now. That's right. So now if you will, just come right on. Just come right on. Now, we're going to tarry a little this morning because tonight it takes a lot of time and folks get restless if they start tarrying sometimes at night. So you ladies and men folk alike, we're eliminating the preaching this morning so that you can get down and think over these things. The Bible said examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. Let's all get down and let's ask God, Lord, what kind of mess, Lord, have we made of our life? Lord, what kind of mess have we made of our life? Lord, knowing that this is just a symbol, what will we do when we get to the judgment, when the great intelligence of God knows every thought that we ever thought, every deed we ever done, everything we ever said in secret, everything we ever done in secret, and Lord, what in the world will we do? What will we do? And then, folks, we try to convince ourselves that we're going to heaven under those conditions. You know we're not going to do it like that. You know we're not going to do it like that. I'm not scolding you this morning. because I love you. The Bible said the good shepherd will give his life for the sheep. The hireling will flee if the wolf comes. And I tell you these things, Jesus said, they make you sorrowful, but they'll make you happy after a while. After a while, if I tell you the truth now, it'll hurt your feelings, grieve you, and hurt the flesh. But then when you put that away and you get right with God, you'll be so glad that God took away the natural things and hurt your natural feelings so that you could get right and you wouldn't have to burn in hell. You'll know that was the love of God to the minister. But if I just love you and make you feel good and just go along with you and don't never reprove you and don't tell you about your sins, well, you'll like to come to church. The church will just run over. I'll just get millions of dollars. That's right. That's right. Like that Jerry Lewis that got $8 million being a comedian. I'll just get millions of dollars, have a big church, but your soul would die and go to hell because I didn't tell you the truth. And I tell you the truth this morning, lie not to you. My conscience burned me witnessing the Holy Ghost, but I'm telling you the truth. If you are a Christian, I want you to pray this morning. Folks, get sincere with God. Get your prayer down in your heart. Get it out of your head this morning. Get the prayer out of your head this morning. And get the prayer down in your heart this morning, folks. Get it down in your heart. And ask God to help you to get your thoughts in your heart right. If you don't, you're going to miss heaven. You'll drink damnation to your soul tonight just as sure as I stand here. If you don't get this down in your heart and mean business with God. Get honest with God. Get honest with God. Don't lose your soul. Don't lose your soul. Mean business with God. Hallelujah. I'm going to kneel down because I want to pray too. Unless everybody reverence the Lord. Little children, folks back there, just nothing much but the children left. But whatever you do now, you little children, young boys, just sit real steady in the boat. Bow your heads. Reverence the Lord. I'll be real respectful. Don't be doing nothing and God won't let you get in trouble. Praise God. Now then this morning, I hope that everybody conquered their spirit up here. I hope you did. You say, now how do I know I've conquered it? When you can look right straight at me and submit your spirit unto me or to your brother or to your sister without having a wrong kind of look on your face, you know. Without drawing back. When you just relax and think, glory to God, that old so-and-so, he's gone. I'm free from him now. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now that I ask you to tarry a little up here, but tonight I want you to be ready for the supper, so I only had you to tarry a little up here so that you would go home and talk with the Lord this evening. Now, I want you to talk with the Lord. See, I know we all like to visit, don't we? But now let's take a little time out for the Lord this evening too. Talk to the Lord a little bit this evening. Be sure to do it before you come back. Don't take no chance. Now, I'm saying this, you come here tonight. You come do the service tonight. The Bible said, enter into my sanctuary with thanksgiving and my courts with praise. Dad, we ought to do it all the time. Because we're coming into the presence of the Almighty God. And in the Old Testament, they got near the mountain. The whole mountain shook. They couldn't even get close to it. And to think, just by grace, that we're even able to do this. God has struck us all down. Just through the blood of Jesus that we're able to do it, Brother Tom. Now, I would lie. For us to remember this, that we should always come like that, because you're taking damnation to your soul when you don't come in like that, whether it's the Lord's Supper or not. But I'm just trying to get you to do it tonight to wake you up, because this shows you what you've been doing all the time. That's right. So then whatever you do, you don't come here tonight in the wrong spirit. Whatever you do. Now I want to come here in a real good spirit. I don't have to raise my voice at anybody while I'm teaching. I don't want to feel anybody's spirit out of sauce tonight to where God would have to use me to reprove them. I want you to have a good spirit. Now you get the Lord upset at you and he'll just let things cross up just like that to make them that's got ugly spirits to show up.
That's right.
And then you really will see where Judas is at. Amen. Praise God. You ever got your wife stirred up to find out she had a Judas spirit? Cross her sometime, you find out where she got the spirit of Christ now. Amen. When she looks at you and puts her arms around you and says, Father, forgive him. He don't know what he's doing. I love him, Father. That's Jesus. Boy, when he jumped back like that. That ain't Jesus. How many of you know that ain't Jesus? When he was reviled, he didn't say nothing back. The Bible said, revile not again. Now, if it ain't God's spirit, it must be some kind of spirit. Now, I said, what is that? It's that woman's spirit. No, I didn't want it in. That'd be nice if we could put it off like that, wouldn't it? Say, that's just that old man's spirit, you know. No, that ain't what it is, that old devil's spirit. That's right. Peter didn't say nothing, but Lord, we ain't going to let that happen to you. He didn't even lose his temper. But it wasn't that old man's spirit, was it? It was Satan. Love the things of the world, the flesh. Now, but I want to say this. I had a good dream about you, Tom. It was a good dream. It was a real good dream. Tom had lost his wife. Because you say, well, that don't sound very good. Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. Really. Some of them I've seen, they'd like to lose their wives, you know. But really, he found her again. He found her. He had lost his wife. It seemed like he had a good wife in the vision. And I trust that Sister Sharon is a good wife. But it seemed to denote something spiritual in the vision, Tom. That you had lost your wife and got separated from her, the best I could remember. But all of a sudden something happened to you and you just, like you come to your senses or something, and you found her. You found her. And everything was real good. Now, also the dream about Brother John Jameson, I mentioned it to Brother John. Somebody had done some talking and had got him so confused that he didn't know which way to go. And they had talked to him and was talking to him, and Brother Grady Pike came into the picture, and Grady helped him get straightened out some in the right direction to go, and told him his place was over here. And somebody was trying to pull him over to Grady, and Grady told him that wasn't right. And in the vision, it wasn't right. It was over here. And then, of course, I wondered if it had to do with Mexico, the way it come about, because I know that's been pulling at John down in old Mexico. And in John's mind, he's actually left the work momentarily to go into old Mexico because of the talk that's been going on, and Brother Al, having worked with Brother Al before, and then he returned back to the work in his mind. I called his spirit. But whoever was telling him really had him confused. It was really fixing to cause him to miss the Lord. But he was as sincere as he could be. He was sincerely looking for the will of God, wanting to do the right thing in the vision.